to the Vox Show. It's your host, me, Vox the Psychic. It's great to be with you guys again here on January 15th, 2007, Monday night. And just letting you know that today is a special day. It's the holiday where we celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King. So happy birthday, Mr. King, Reverend King. So I was actually checking out his chart earlier. It was kind of cool. I'm going to go into that today and talk about where his planets were and some of the things that he was able to leave as a legacy. And one of the things about Mr. King was his famous saying, "I have a dream." And I was wondering where that came from. And once I looked at his chart, I pretty much figured it out. He has a pretty amazing chart. And for those of you out there who know how to do astrology, if you check out his chart, he was actually born January 15th, 1929 at 1 p.m. in Atlanta, Georgia. He has a pretty remarkable chart. Let me check it out with you guys. So starting off with, he had a sun in Capricorn, which is where it's at, obviously, today. 25 degrees Capricorn, too, is very ritualistic. Someone who's very interested in religion, church, tradition, things like that. You'll actually also find a lot of Wiccans and ritual magicians with that placement, I've noticed. And where I think he came up with the idea for I Have a Dream is his placement with the moon in Pisces. Makes him a poet, a dreamer, somebody who's able to really get to the heart of the matter and really inspire people in a very spiritual way. You notice that, however, he even did politics and spoke about politics was in a very spiritual way, and that's what made him so powerful. Had Mercury in Aquarius, which made him very much a philanthropist as well. So we'll get a little bit more into that as we go, but we already have a caller, so we'll check it out over here. So, hey, is this Alex?
Hey.
How's it going, Alex?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Pretty cool. People are probably going, wow, she's psychic.
How yeah.
It's called Skype. What can I do? So it's cool to talk to you, my friend. What's going on?
Not too much. I wrote you earlier today about a friend of mine who I'm looking at going into a band with.
Yeah, yeah, I actually have it right here. I was actually going to go into that. Let's find it over here. Hold on a sec. I'm going to check it out over here. That's one of the questions to check out. You want me to read your letter or you want to just talk about it?
Well, it's up to you. I mean, if you think it's... bears reading.
Yeah, go ahead and just ask.
Names excluded and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, cool. Exactly. So what's the birthday of yourself, obviously, and what's the birthday of the person you're asking about?
My birthday is April 20th, 1976.
Okay, and his birthday is?
It's 12/25. I think it's 75, but it might be 74.
Okay, well, let's check it out. And one of the things that you have in common, I mean, you have a lot of Taurus energy in your chart for whatever reason, and that's what kind of makes you want to express yourself through music. And Capricorn's also very musical. For whatever reason, I never figured it out, but of course somebody like Jimmy Page is a really famous Capricorn. They have it in him. Now, what's this guy's first name?
Ken.
Okay. Or if you want to just use his actual real initial is fine, too. Since I know you're lying. Because I'm
sorry. Well,
psychic.
I told you.
Yeah, but then again, hey, you never
know. Yeah, right.
We'll check it out.
Okay.
Now, it does show he's got Mars and Capricorn energy coming out. He's very fastidious. He's a really great writer in a lot of ways. And he has the ability to really communicate pretty well, pretty effectively. He's also very, very fussy. That's probably what you're picking up about. Oh, my God, like, should you even deal with this guy? Should you work with him whatsoever?
And, plus, I have Mars in Cancer, which really makes me...
Oh, my God.
...picky with him.
Well, it's not even about you at that point. It's like he's at war with himself. Mars is going completely against his own emotions, and so it's kind of interesting, you know? But my feeling is if you can just lay down the law, let him join your band, and let him know it's... The Alex Experience Band, and starring Alex, And all songs written by Alex, you know. You're going to have to just put your foot down. And your Aries card is coming up strong with the Emperor.
Well, so, that's also, I mean, I am joining his band, so there's kind of like the toes issue there.
Yeah, that's going to be tough because, you know, you're very fussy about your own stuff.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I could really tell you here is I think he's a good player. I think he's a good writer. I think he has a lot of strengths. I also think he's really gotten his, pardon my French, shit together. And I think you could do a lot of good sitting there learning how to get frustrated under his thumb so it would force you finally to get out and do your own thing. So that's the good thing about it. You know, you wouldn't stay there very long. You know, he has a lot of things to say about how he wants things, and it may not really gel with you. So I would just give it like a, how do I put it? Just kind of like a situation wherein you can kind of come and go as needed. If you try to stick it out, it would probably be kind of difficult. Now, if he were actually getting ready to make a major release and he could really go somewhere with his band, ultimately I'd say kiss his butt for at least a year to 2 years and fly in his coattails and then, you know, make your Farrah Fawcett move and leave Charlie's Angels. So that's kind of the tough thing. You mean, you learn a lot from this guy about what you don't want to have to deal with anymore. And he will force you to get disciplined about what you're doing. So on those levels, I feel good about it. But you have to know when to get out of there. And it could be sooner than you really want. You know, so if you don't feel like you can put up with his attitude at different times, you may not be able to really put up with this and have to move on. I just don't see how you're going to make a real lasting situation out of it is basically what I'm getting. He's got the Tower, the Ace of Wands, and the Knight of Wands. So he's really intense, you know, as you probably figured out.
Definitely.
Yeah. He may not be all that upfront about it per se, but even when he doesn't say it, he's vibing the hell out of you.
Right. And he's got a lot of intense stuff going on in his personal life.
No kidding. Especially with his wife or his girlfriend, whoever that is.
Yeah.
That's a disaster. And also, too, he gets manipulated by females that he bumps into. And that's not going to bode well for his career. If he
females
can't
for him or love interest for him?
Love interest, but it's coming across as people that are subjugated by his power. So even if he was gay, it's coming out like women, you know, the affair sex or whatever. But he's definitely got some problems there. You know, he's not really being very honest. He's really honest brutally with other people. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
And then it's like comes to him and it's like he's got like the red goggles on. He just doesn't see that stuff, you know. My God, is he really this fussy?
What's that?
Is he really that fussy?
Fussy?
Yeah.
He's coming out. In a way, he's very attuned to what he likes.
Yeah, and he's got, coming up with that energy, Venus in Virgo, Nine of Discs. So he'll definitely let his decisions be known. So my vibe with you is, if you can keep it cool and kind of coast with him for a little bit, then I'd say, yeah, go right ahead. But make sure you get out before you hate him. Because you definitely bump into this guy again in the future, because I do think he will make it. Maybe not super major big time per se, but he can definitely make it to the point where you'll be glad that you didn't, you know, end things on a bad note. Kind of like Gwen Stefani, and No Doubt. Yeah. Kind of hanging in there, you know.
That's kind of the vibe I got from him.
Yeah.
Overall.
Exactly. So you're reading him pretty correctly, I'd say. Now, why aren't you taking more, you know, definitive action with your own music? That's what I want to know.
Just not confident in my voice. I mean, you know, everybody in the world plays guitar and writes songs, but without a good like vocal melody, good approach like that, you know, I mean, it's not a lot of room for success.
Well, I would say if you really started writing about what you really think instead of writing what you think people would like you to talk about, you know, then that, I think you could really do really well. Because listen to Kurt Cobain. I mean, it's not like he had this amazing, beautiful voice, but what he had in his voice was so powerful and so raw and so real. It wouldn't matter if he's out of tune, you know. It sounded better because he was out of tune, because that meant he meant it more, because he was putting so much into it. He lost his breath control, and he was all out of there, you know?
Right.
So that's what I would suggest. And that Aries problem that you have is that idea for perfection that doesn't exist. And even when it actually once in a while does exist through auto-tune, with Beyonce and Christina Aguilera, it still sucks. Sorry, ladies.
Right.
You know, because it's like got the soul sucked out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
totally.
I would say, you know, you're trying too hard to think about making it properly, when in fact, nobody ever makes it the same way twice. That's what I've always noticed. That's why nobody can tell you how to make it. You know, if everybody said, oh, yeah, send your demo to this guy, you know, and then he had 3 billion demo tapes and he wouldn't even have time to listen to them. So that's why people seem to be really shrouded about how to make it, you know, and you need to, like, not be so precious about what you have and just throw it out there. That seems to be the thing that I notice the most about people. They're probably thinking I just, you know, say the same thing over and over. But it's really interesting how many people really suffer from this. And maybe because we're in Hollywood, you know, everybody's thinking, well, if I do this, this is happening right now. You know, by the time it gets to us, it's already, like, over.
Right, but it seems like there's a lot of people on the other spectrum, too, just throwing crap out the window or at anybody that passes by.
Yeah, and that's because they know their crap, and they better hustle, because they'll never get anywhere. And those of us that can actually sing in tune or write a song or be amazing, we're, like, in the bedroom, you know, singing to the cat, like, you know, he's really, like, not into it. You know, it's just about being courageous. I mean, look at that guy, Dashboard Confessional. I mean, I just want to reach out and slap that guy right in the face. You know, his voice is so annoying. I want to strangulate somebody. But you know what? If somebody had said, oh, yeah, this kind of crap is going to be successful 10 years ago, we would have been laughing. Like, what? And, like, the people that are putting up this pseudo-punk music, like Sum 41, I mean, what the hell is that all about? I mean,
modern rock.
Avril Lavigne is punk. Hello?
Right?
Give me a break.
It's pretty outstanding.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Those of us that need to do are in some way smugly satisfied that we have real talent. You know, and then we start dissing other people that know they're not talented but don't care, but they really want it more than we do. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we actually can tune a guitar and sing. At the end of the day, if they don't make it, they're going to be pushing a broom at McDonald's. You know, no offense to the people that are pushing a broom at McDonald's, but I'm sure it's not like their dream job. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So that's what I would say. That's the long-winded way of saying, join his band, keep your opinions to yourself, and get the hell out of there before you hate his guts, and try to, like, ride on some of his contacts if you can. It sounds so evil, but it's true. You know, it's the survival of the fittest. And if it's not the fittest, at least it's the shrewdest. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So that's what I'd say, and I hope that it works out. And I really hope that you will get it together and just start putting your demos out and start playing around town. You know, that's how Beck got discovered. He was just joking around with his rap stuff. And some guy was sitting in the audience at a freaking coffee house and said, oh, yeah, man, I got some beats. Those weren't even his beats. That wasn't even his song. He was just, like, fooling around with that song. What was it, Loser? He
right?
didn't even write the beats for that thing.
Really?
I was like, no, I could not believe it. That was produced by someone else. Which he's famous for doing that now, apparently. But what can I say? But so in other words, you just got to, you know, stop waiting for somebody else to help you make it and be your evil Aries self and just make it on your own. Because you actually
could.
Oh,
no. He's raising Lex Luthor.
I know. But you got to do it, man.
Right.
Besides, I want to take full credit for it. So get out there and do it. Okay, Alex?
Definitely would have.
All right, take
Thank
care,
you.
My friend. 93.
Definitely, you too.
Bye-bye.
93.
Yeah, you guys got to get some courage out there. Come on. Give it to me. So who else we got? Anybody call? Give me a call here at 323-284-5166. So whoever was trying to call, give me a call back again because we can reach it. Now, because I don't have like some amazing like 3,000 button console, so sometimes if you're calling, you just have to wait a minute and hold on, and I'll get to you. So again, 323-284-5166, and just letting you know, you're with Vox the Psychic, and my site and blog is vox.org, V-O-X-X.org. And I just started up my magical forum recently, so anybody who would be interested in learning more about magic, psychic development, for God's sakes, everything in the kitchen sink is on my forum. If you can't find something cool to talk about, I can't believe it. And that address is Vox, V-O-X-X, dot org /forum. Wow, how hard is that? So come on over and register and let's chat. And that'll be really fun. So just also letting you know, today the moon is waning in Sagittarius. And it's called the balsamic phase. And that's when it's like in a reverse crescent. And the crescent is bigger to the left side. So for those of you budding magicians out there, whenever you see the moon bigger on the left side, it's waning. When it's bigger on the right side, it's waxing. And the waxing phase is when you can bring information in, bring in good energies. When it's on the left side, that's the time to let things go. And also when it's full, you just go psycho. And when it's new, you just get depressed. So what can you do? Also, I have been getting phone calls. I can't even begin to tell you. It's like the deluge. All these emergency phone calls recently. Fox, the world is ending. My life is in shambles. What can I do? What the hell is going on? And the answer is simple. Like I told you last week, we have a ton of planets shifting signs. And today, literally at 4:24 a.m., Mercury, the planet of communication, moved into Aquarius. And that's where we get that really insane cold air, high winds, people freezing their asses off. And also, you hear, whenever Mercury goes into Aquarius, the lovely sound of a million vacuum cleaners sucking the dirty stuff that was left over from Capricorn hanging around. So people probably started getting really intense today. And if you haven't fought with anybody, if you haven't broken up with anybody, don't worry. You probably will. And it will happen suddenly, as it always does. So that's Mercury in Aquarius for you. So I pity the foo who has any major planets in Taurus or in Leo or in Scorpio, because that means that you will be having a mess of T-squares, which means it's like a cross, you know, like the one they hung Jesus up on. It wasn't a good day. And if you have planets in Aquarius too, then you're really screwed, because then you have a grand cross, and it's just going to be the challenge of the month to get through it. So letting you know a little bit about that, and also to do my shameless self-promotion, I have a gig coming up this coming Friday at Tangier Restaurant. It's a very hip club in Hollywood, Los Feliz, with my band Telegenetic. And it'll be Friday night at 11 o'clock p.m. at Tangier at 2138 Hillhurst Avenue. And tickets are $10, and you can write to me at my band address at info@telegenetic, TelegenetiC.com. So where are some of these other planets? Let me just give you a little idea about what was going on, why everything's going insane. Like I said, Venus also just entered Aquarius. So if you fell in love with your best friend, go ahead, get some great sex out of it, and then leave. Then it had Mars trining Saturn retrograde on the last show. That was pretty intense. And we have a really, we had already a really powerful aspect last week that I talked to you about. Mars conjuncted Pluto on January 13th, last Saturday, at 26 degrees. And that won't happen again for another 248 years. So if you didn't jump in there and do a really cool ritual for self-transformation, then you pretty much missed the boat. That's why you need to write me. So you need to join my forum and you'll find out all this cool stuff. And what else is happening? Tomorrow, Mars is entering Capricorn. And that should definitely do some shakeups at your work. Okay, so just know about that. So tonight, you'll probably be hearing some sirens going off in your neighborhood as Mars is at 29 degrees Sagittarius. And a lot of you will be moving and changing jobs and losing your minds, which is pretty much why I decided to start this show in the first place, just to kind of guide you guys through these crazy moments. What else will be happening? And then about on Saturday, the sun will enter Aquarius, and that will be along with Venus in Aquarius. So lots of new love relationships, fun little flings, going out to parties, meeting people. That ought to be pretty fun. But it's all only flings, you guys. No marriage. If you're getting married in the next 2 weeks, I'm sorry. Just back out now while you can. People go, why? Can you really just tell people ridiculously irresponsible things like that? And the answer is yes, actually I can. And you just don't want to know how many people come back, 10 years later, with the screaming kids that aren't getting child support going, Mom, sucks. Why didn't I listen to you? And the answer is, I have no idea. Maybe I should just, you know, give up some time trying to convince people. You know, I'm really not interested in breaking people up. I swear to God. But so many people that I meet, they're just like with the wrong people. And let's get real. By the time you have to ask a psychic, 98% chance that you're with the wrong person. Because when you love somebody and you know that it's real, you usually don't need a psychic. Okay, once in a while, yeah, you could be deluded. You know, like Britney Spears. Speaking of which, why is she acting so out of control? That's because Jupiter has entered her sun sign and she knows no bounds, including her crotch, apparently. What can I say? But that's kind of why she's going off the deep end. And remember, all you Dionysian worshipers out there, Jim Morrison addicts. Dionysus, which also has Jupiterian influence, is the god of wine, you know, and also cocaine. Yes, that's right. What a combo. So the situation is, there's probably going to be a lot more of the same where that happened. And that whole train wreck's going out of control, as you can see. So for all of you guys out there who have any kind of major planets in Sagittarius, you are probably not listening to me right now because you're probably partying with Lindsay Lohan or Paris Hilton or something, or doing some other bizarre thing you shouldn't be doing. So those are just a couple of tidbits about things that are going on. And of course, right now, what you want to do is you want to prepare for the Mercury retrograde coming up on February 13th. Yeah, so it's less than a month away. So get your computer fixed, get your extra hard drive, put your tires in your car, go get a tune-up, put oil in your car. Yeah, that black stuff that you never put in since you left it on the parking lot or drove off the parking lot. So take care of all that stuff like right now so it doesn't come and bite you in the ass later. And of course, then we have the lunar eclipse. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many major planetary things are happening. People go, oh yeah, all this weird stuff must happen every day. And the answer is no. But for some strange reason, it's all happening. All the planets are kind of like happening where they're shifting signs, like right around the same time as each other. So it's really kind of a trip, you know. And speaking also about planetary changes. For those of you that remember one of my last podcasts, I was making computer predictions for the iPhone. And yay, I will admit I was correct about 98% of it. And that was pretty cool. But I did say there was going to be a delay with it coming out. And I was right about that too. And also the chance that they could have some problems with the name. So we'll see how that all winds up. So what are some other things going on? Oh, yeah, we were trying to talk about Mr. Martin Luther King. Where was I over there? We were talking about some of his ideas with I Have a Dream and where all that stuff came from. But I was studying his chart. And we had left off where we were talking he had Mercury in Aquarius. And the most important thing, he had Venus in Pisces. Pretty like in a wide conjunction with his moon, and that made him a martyr. And most definitely, that's what happened to him. He really loved people, but more than loving people, he loved God, and he loved to bring people closer to God. Now, for those of my fans and listeners out there who don't believe in God, I really don't care. You know, basically, what God is this ideal that you aspire to please, and if that's what keeps you in line, then that's fine, it's working for you. Now, I also noticed, too, that Martin Luther King had Mars in Gemini, and that made him a very dynamic speaker who is really in your face. So when he spoke about justice, you mean you had to pay attention. You know, he had Jupiter in Taurus, which rules the throat, so his throat was golden. The things that he said would inspire people and rouse them to action. He had Saturn in Sagittarius, which is another martyr situation. I do believe that Kennedy and also Abraham Lincoln had that placement, and we all know what happened to them. Okay, so that was not a fun situation. So it indicates, too, that a person will die away from their home. You had Uranus and Aries, and ultimately how he was killed was through a bullet. That's a very Uranian death. Neptune and Virgo, again, very much a poet. That's what I see from him. And Pluto and Cancer, he was definitely a bugaboo for the American public, who just really weren't ready for him at that time. So it's kind of a sad thing, but we salute you, Mr. Martin Luther King. And we hope that he's fulfilled his true will, as we say, as Thelemites do. Now, something that happened to me today, as I said, well, I've been getting a lot of phone calls recently from different people, but it has been about obsession. Like a caller that I got today, the last minute, was just completely like losing it over this one guy. And I started thinking about obsession because of some of the planetary aspects she had in her chart. She had Neptune in Scorpio at the cursed degree, 19 degrees. The famous Manson degree. We all know what happened there, right? Whenever you have a planet at 19 degrees Scorpio, it shows delusion and that you could lose control and give your fate to another person. And that's very much what my client was doing today. So the basic theme today of today's show is obsession and their planets and how they affect your obsessions. Neil, you have to think, what is an obsession? An obsession really has nothing to do with your true will, as Thelemites might know of it. In other words, and maybe Christians would call it like what you're here to accomplish in your life. An obsession is a desire to manifest something to an unnatural degree, to an imbalanced degree. It's like you always see these scam artists always trying to make a buck and stuff like that. You know, that's an obsession for money and security. So we're going to go a little further into that in a second, but right now I have a call. We'll find out who it is. Hello there, this is Vox. What's going on?
Oh, hi, this is Wendy.
Hi,
I've
Wendy.
I've emailed you a few times. How are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to finally talk to you on the phone over here.
Yeah, no, I think your podcasts are really interesting.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So what are some things you'd like to talk about today, Wendy?
My love life. It's like I keep meeting people, and I was dating one person, and it didn't work out. I wanted to know, am I doing something wrong? Am I just not meant to have serious love right now?
Well, let's check it out. Now, how many millions of dollars have you spent on psychics already?
No millions. But I've been to a bunch.
Yeah.
And, like, so far, no one's been accurate.
Well, we'll check it out.
I was supposed to be married last year.
Don't you hate when that happens? I was supposed to win the lottery yesterday. You know, I hate that. Now, what's your birthday, Wendy?
February 22nd, 1974.
Wow. So Miss Pisces energy over there. Now, it definitely shows that you feel betrayed in some way. That's probably by some of the crazy psychics you've been dealing with. So let's check it out. Now, have you gotten a deck of tarot cards yet for yourself?
I've been reading cards for a while, but I can never read for myself.
Yeah.
Although very intuitive with other people.
Interesting how I picked that up. It's like, I see you reading these cards and going, what the hell is going on? And just so because you know what the cards are that I'll be pulling and stuff, even though the cards just delineate my boundaries of what I'm going to say, but psychically it just comes to me as a clairvoyant response. But the cards can help you figure out exactly what degree you're getting that information psychically. But you're getting the Ten of Swords, the Princess of Cups, and the Tower. So you're probably terrified to even find out what the hell I'm going to say.
Nothing scares me anymore. So that's okay.
It's just
I
like,
still stand no matter what.
That's good. That's good. And if I say it to myself long enough, I might believe it. Yeah, because that's the Cancer vibe. And I'm a Cancer, too. Now, you got the Three of Discs, the Four of Cups, and the Five of Cups. And the good thing is that you've got a good sense of humor, thank God. And you're very intuitive. And quite frankly, I think you're more intuitive without your cards. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Now, the problem is when you're psychic and you're reading for yourself, and let me tell you something. I want to empower you to understand that you can do this yourself. But this is the problem that you're having reading yourself. What you want to see when you don't see it is frustrating you and making you like not understand it. You have to be really more brutal with yourself when you're reading yourself than if you were reading another person. You understand?
Oh, yeah. With other people, I'm like, that's just the way it is. I'm very nonchalant. With myself, I'm obsessive.
Yeah. And so what happens is that when you read yourself and you see, oh, John's a dick, he's going to screw me over, you go, oh, but I don't want to believe that about John. And you try to be nice about it, when in fact, when you're reading, you can't afford to be nice. You can learn how to, like, round your words off and be kind of polite and empowering with your suggestions of the words that come out, but you have to be brutal. So the situation is right now, it's almost kind of like you're not even believing in psychics at this point. And quite frankly, after some that you might have bumped into, I can't say this as I blame you. Now, the good thing is that you do love yourself more than you love other people. That's good. Some people may see
I like myself a lot.
Yeah, I can see that. You got the Empress, and sometimes you start wondering, like, gee, well, maybe I'm not so great as I thought I was. And the fact is, yeah, you are, you know. And you're starting to lose a little bit of, I don't want to say yourself, but you're definitely confused about, like, what the hell you're supposed to be seeing here. Now, for sure, I guarantee you right now, even if any of the guys that you were dating came back, they're not the one. It's very clear that you do not know your future partner. And yes, you do have one, and I'm not making that up because that would be completely ridiculous. But you're starting to go, hey, I'm getting old. Now, how old are you right now? What year were you born?
32.
Okay. Which is what year?
Almost 30. February 22nd.
I know that part, but what year?
74.
Okay.
So and I'm a 9 pass.
Okay. And again, you're going to have to just start realizing that some of the kind of guys that you think would be good for you actually are really not even in the ballpark. You need somebody who actually makes you feel a lot more grounded. Finding somebody that actually really interests you on every single level is actually kind of not really, I hate to say what's meant, because I don't really believe that things are meant to be. I really don't believe in that. But it feels like you're looking for the wrong kind of person. And the kind of guys that would really get into you, they're not your type. Have you noticed that yet?
I'm definitely attracted to, like, finance-type people, because that makes me feel very grounded.
Right, but that's really not what's going to ground you. What do you have in Taurus? Any planets in Taurus or
Mars?
Okay. And that's like really, really important to recognize that, because you're like, what you're doing accidentally is projecting a part of yourself that you haven't cultivated and hoping that what you'll do is pull the part of yourself into your life and you project it onto another person. So it's like if you collect all these different kind of things that you don't have inside someone else, then magically you will have it. But that's actually not what's working out. Understand? So I'm feeling that.
I've been trying to be more open.
Yeah, but you know, we're water signs. It's really hard for us to be open because we're so intuitive. We really do kind of know it all, unfortunately. But what you
have. I get along best with water signs.
Yeah, and it's almost like, I don't know what your mom has to do with this or what she's projecting on you. What's her birthday?
She's a Scorpio.
Ah! I hope she's not listening. She'll hit me. But
no, she's like, I can't believe you still call these people. They've all been wrong.
Yeah, because you know
I still believe. I don't know why.
I hate to break it to you, even if your mom's going to, like, think this is weird, and even if you think this is weird, your mother has been giving you free psychic readings for your whole life. Okay, if I got together in a room with your mom, she would probably tell me everything I told you was something she already told you for free. Thank God, that's why I'm not charging on this show. So you're not out
that's
anymore.
That's true. But she always talks like that. You're right. She says it to me all the time.
She and I would go out and we would be talking and we'd be laughing. And, you know, it would be so annoying to you because you're like, but wait, my mom is wrong. And the deal is, it's the way in which she's telling you these things that's not jiving with you. That's the problem.
I've been listening to her with the guys, though, and they haven't been working out.
Well, what's happening when I'm bringing your mom into it is she's making you afraid of the things that she was afraid of when she was looking for a partner. Now, if your mom is still with the original partner, please let me know. I won't believe it.
No, my dad just passed away.
Yeah. Bless his heart. What was his birthday?
July 9th.
Okay. So, see, she found a really great Cancer pet, okay, that she could kind of control. But your deal is that you're trying to find somebody that can kind of, like, toe the line and bring that security. And the deal is, I don't see how that's going to happen because you're into so many strange things. I can't see a really well-balanced, down-to-earth, normal guy falling in love with you. You'd drive him nuts. It'd be like Bewitched, you know?
Really?
You'd tell him all kinds of crazy stuff and he wouldn't understand what you're talking about. So your security needs to come more from the kind of person, not what they have. And I think that's the big thing that you have to, like, deal with, you know? And as far as, let's just go into the future. Screw all this psychological backgrounding. But as far as your husband, I will say one thing. You won't know him when you meet him. And that's something that's that's going to piss you off. And it's something that you don't believe that I'm saying right now, because you think you're so intuitive that you would know it, but it hasn't ever been that way. There's been guys that you thought kind of were it, and then you got a pie in the face when you were shocked that he wasn't it. So you got to stop trying to, like, figure stuff out. And I think that's something that your mom is trying to tell you as well. Like, stop asking so many opinions, because it seems to be confusing your own intuition. Do you understand that?
Totally true.
Yeah. And so it's kind of weird me saying this, being a psychic. You know, you shouldn't be listening
totally
to a psychic.
True.
But it's just completely confusing you. I'll give you an example. As a Pisces, the planets that you have, you should be a pretty decent cook when you feel like doing it. Is that true?
No, I'm a really good cook.
Okay, because, you know, you're finding the time to do it. So now this example is going to make a lot of sense to you. You know when you make a mistake in a recipe, like you put too much salt? You know, you put a potato in to soak up the salt or whatever. And then you try to, like, make up for the mistake, okay? And you keep adding other stuff. And pretty soon, it's a huge mess, and you can't really, like, take any of the ingredients out. So once in a while, you just have to realize the souffle is flat. You know, you put too much salt in something. With you, we know it's not going to happen, but I'm just giving you an example. So what happens is you start putting so much into that, by the end of it, you can't even, like, eat it. It tastes totally confused. It's like some kind of mishmash. And that's why you can't seem to find yourself lately. Everything's getting really blended together. And even the psychics you go to that other people rave about, the things that they're telling you sound so vague. It's like, well, how the hell am I supposed to, like, get anything out of that?
I can't figure out what they're talking about.
Yeah. Now, I will say one thing. I have learned over the years that there is a way to learn how to understand what maybe an accurate or a good psychic is telling you. And what the most important thing you should do is tape record it and just listen to every crazy thing they say and don't believe a word of it. Just kind of file it away in the back, okay, like a sticky note. And live your life. And you should allow yourself to program yourself to where when it's meaningful to remember what that psychic has told you, you'll hypnotically suggest to yourself, oh, that's what they're talking about. Now, let me give you a quick example so you can understand, because yours is not so much an actual prediction as it is a way of learning how to see what's coming your way and not screwing it up.
Am I going to meet a guy over the next couple of years, or is it going to take me a long time?
Let's check it out. And what's your rising sign?
Sagittarius.
Oh, my God. Well, I will say one thing. You have already missed husband number one. Do you know about that?
What do you mean? Which one was
that? Exactly. One of the ones you were smart enough to say no to. Because you've already missed having a divorce by marrying the wrong guy.
Oh, wait. Was that Anthony, the Pisces?
Oh, God.
That I was madly in love with?
Yep. See, you already saved $25,000 on a wedding and a divorce.
You didn't want to marry me, though.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean anything. It was not real compatible. And you should be lucky. You should be.
I loved him, though.
Trust me, count your blessings that he wouldn't marry you, because it would have been divorce number one. That's what you got.
Is he in love with me, though? Is he still in love with me?
I think you guys have some, I mean, you've heard this before, and I hate to be one of those psychics that talks about soulmates. I really hate it. I despise it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you are soulmates. You know this. You got the universe card, which is in another deck called the world card. And what that indicates is it's a Saturn/Pluto placement where you guys just clicked. And so how you are reading that is like, whoa, we clicked. You know, but how did you click? It's like, oh, there's a mouse and I'm a python. Oh, we click. It's like, yeah, you click, but not for the right reasons. So in some really weird way, you've already been married to him, and maybe not in this lifetime, but you're just very lucky that you missed doing that again. And I will say, you've got the Two of Cups on the bottom when I ask about Anthony. So I'm going to say he did love you and does still love you, but he's not in love with you. And I hate that one too. You know, but it's true. He has real affection for you. But I give him some credit for understanding. He could have really coasted with you and gotten a lot out of it. But I think he knew better than to ever want to really be an enemy with you. And that's really how it would have wound up if you had pushed it further. And he's not even a backup plan. So we're never going back there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think he'll get married a few times. I think he's going to have a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my God. But as far as, honestly, when I read, like, who is your husband in the future? And I got to tell you straight up, you're not even ready to meet your husband yet. And that's not a judgment call. That's only a psychic / tarot call. You got the Nine of Wands, the Magician, and the Six of Swords. And what that indicates is you think, see, you're ready mentally, but you're not ready emotionally. You know what I'm saying? And it's been kind of a struggle. It's almost like you're now trying so hard to get a husband or like a relationship, almost as if it's a destination or some kind of result that you're trying to manifest. Instead of actually working on the parts of yourself to balance yourself, when you do that, then you attract your husband naturally, without voodoo, by the way. Voodoo, I mean, you know, it can help on a Friday night if you're really lonely. But you can't manifest partners through magic or anything else other than being ready for that other half of yourself to come in. And you've seen it for some of your friends. However, some of your friends aren't going to stay married, so don't judge it by that. You can tell your friends I said that.
No, I don't think half of them have great husbands.
Yeah, of course. So what you're asking for as well from God, whomever God is, and whatever God is, and I do believe in God, I just can't prove it. Whatever you asked God for is pretty amazing, and you can't just say, all right, show it to me, you know, cough it up. You have to be willing, you know, to be honest with yourself and to do a little bit of psychological work and going in there and finding out what your patterns are. And I would say, as far as how long is it going to take you to bump into this person, I would say 1.5 to 2 years, and you do not know him yet. And if I had to say, where are you going to meet him? I'm going to tell you that you're going to meet him in the Northeast. Massachusetts is actually stronger than New York. But New York, whoever he is, wherever he's coming from, wherever he's at, he's going to be within a like 200 or 300 mile radius from where you're at right now. He's got dark hair, and I hope you're taking notes. Don't worry, you got the podcast. Screw it, don't take notes. You don't know him right now, and quite frankly, you're going to think he's cute. You're going to think he's attractive when you meet him, but you're not going to think he's your husband. But he is going to know that you are his wife. And no, he's not going to tell you right away. Because he already knows that you being his wife is actually going to be kind of a challenge, because you definitely have your own mind. He was looking for somebody a little bit more manageable than you. Good luck. You know, and your mom is going to say, pretty soon after you meet this guy, even if you go, oh, yeah, I went on a business trip and I met Joe Blow and he's married, and your mother will say, he's your future husband. Your mom is going to call it. She's going to say,
but I never go on business trips. Would it just be like a social trip?
Whatever it is, it actually has something to do with making money and some kind of avocation. It could even be like a tarot conference. It could be a spiritual conference. Whatever it is, it's something that you take seriously that feels like business to you. And I'm not kidding around. And you'll bump into him more than once. The second time you bump into him, I think you're going to remember our conversation and go, oh, you know, that's really kind of weird. I bump into this guy again. Because you're not even going to try to. And with you, I don't really see that happening very often, bumping into people in a strange way like that. Not more than once. Not like this.
Is he going to be successful? Is that my problem? I'm looking for guys who are too successful, and that's just not my path?
No, that's not it at all. It's where you think guys are successful are going to come from. You understand? You're not even thinking that a guy could be successful being a writer or being a comic or doing something creative, because somehow you've been told that money is doing something sensible. Money comes from doing sensible things. And for you, it's like bumping into Seinfeld. You know what I'm saying? It's like somebody who has a great deal of fun with whatever they do. And it is very creative. And I'm telling you, he comes around words. Words and contracts and lots of writing. He's a very creative individual. And he's very laid back. Dark hair, very nice looking. He's got a lot of Cancerian and Virgo energy around him. And you will think after the second time you meet him that this could be the person I was talking about. And if I had to say how you meet him, again, it's some kind of situation where, now are you writing yourself or what?
No, I mean, I try to do it, but...
Well, stop trying. Stop trying and just start writing. And stop trying to do this quality control check that you're doing on yourself and critiquing.
I'm very psychological. I feel like I've spent so much time working on myself. I'm so sick of myself.
Yeah, but it's the way that you're working on it. It's like, okay, now I will, blah, blah, blah. You're not letting life happen. You're not having fun working on yourself. So on these levels, social trips, can literally be some of the things that you're feeling like is business. It is your business right now to get yourself ready, not just for your future husband. He's not the prize. You're the prize. That's why he's going to want to marry you. And quite frankly,
he's going to think I'm too much.
Like everybody knows you're too much. All you have to, you standing at a buffet in about three paragraphs, anybody knows you're too much. Give me a break. You're very intense.
Really? You think men think I'm too much?
Hell
men
yeah.
Men discuss marriage with me a lot.
No, guys know that you call it as you see it. They know that. You're no fuss, you know? You just lay it straight. You're sarcastic. You're funny. You're witty. You've got a lot of stuff going for you. But a normal guy isn't going to dig it. And thank God, because a normal guy couldn't handle you, and it wouldn't work out anyway. You
Is
need
that
somebody.
Like Anthony? Was he too normal?
Yeah. It's like, it's almost marrying down. Like, no offense to Anthony. But, you used to know that you were going to be somebody special. And I'm not kissing your butt because that's extra. I charge for.
No, he told me that. He thought he wasn't good enough for me.
And I like Anthony because he's honest. He told you the truth. And you go, oh, my God, great. Now, let me give you an example of why you feel offended by that sometimes. It's like you have a PhD in biochemistry, but you need to pay the rent. So you try to get hired at McDonald's and they won't even hire you. And you're like, what? Hello, I should be able to get hired at McDonald's. And it's almost like you're reading it backwards. It's like the universe's way of making sure you don't go backwards. You understand? And I just think that you have been getting the signs, but you haven't necessarily been understanding how to read them. You know what I mean?
So what about this guy, the Scorpio? Is he going to be anything in my life or no?
Yeah, a headache and maybe a really great role in the hay. He's not your future husband.
I don't think he's interested in me, but I keep running into him, and, like, I'm not usually drawn to people. I mean, he's very good-looking, so, like, everyone's drawn to him, and he's older, but I don't know. I don't think I'm his type, but I seem drawn to him. And whenever I'm drawn to people, I always am like, why am I so drawn to this? Except, like, everyone thinks he's cute. I get that.
Well, yeah, he's a cutie and stuff, but he's basically a toss in the hay, if you can get it. But even if so, you know how it is. Once you start getting with somebody, you kind of make it more than it should be necessarily. You try to read more into it. And that exact thing I just said, reading too much into something, can be something that's messing up your psychic readings as well. Because you're trying to make things fit. It's like Cinderella didn't try to put Crisco on her foot and shove her foot into the glass slipper. You know what I mean?
That's so true.
It just happened.
One woman told me this guy, a Leo from my past, was the guy I was going to marry. So I went out of my way to join his gym.
Oh, God,
now
please.
He's modeling. And she was like, this is the guy you're going to marry. I'm like, really? He's not even here. She's like, he's going to come chasing after you. I'm like,
yeah,
it's
right.
been a year. And you don't see that happening. Either,
no. And the deal is, he might flirt with you a little bit, but you wouldn't really have this guy in your life. It would just not happen, you know? But I think you and I could talk forever. You should, you know, definitely call me up and do an actual reading. We can do, like, all kinds of stuff and get even more in depth. But hopefully I told you enough stuff about this guy that I feel is very specific that you'll be able to.
No, you're totally right. That's what's screwing me up with all my psychic. I'm trying to make things happen that they project.
Well, you might even want to think about taking like a psychic development class so I can teach you more how to read the symbols without putting your emotion into it. You know, it's really tough, but it can be done. And I've actually taught a lot of people that didn't even have half the level of intuition that you have naturally that are actually making serious money, helping themselves and helping other people. And I'm not even just plugging myself. I'm just telling it straight. You know, but anyway, I hope that I've been able to put a little bit of direction. So I look forward to chatting with you sometime online or doing an actual in-depth reading, which I think we can even get more stuff out of you. But in the meantime, think about what I'm saying and stop thinking.
Do you think a year and a half to 2 years?
Year and a half to 2 years. And here's the cool part. If you listen to me, you start acting on some of this information right now, which you'll be able to listen to in the podcast. You start putting into action. You could speed this process up, and I kid you not. You could speed it up, and you can meet this person by next September. And no, I'm not kidding. And I tell you honestly, I've actually met the husbands that I predicted. I've met the kids that I predicted, and they've sat on my couch. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so freaky. Like, I predicted you. And it's so weird to see the guy sitting on my couch kind of freaked out, like, oh, my God, but what if this psychic had been wrong? What would my wife had passed on me or what? Because it is kind of scary to think we have that kind of ability or that people will listen to what we have to say. You know, but keep your mind open and think about what I had to say, put it into action, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again really soon, Wendy.
Yeah, thank you so much.
God bless.
Very good advice.
And tell your mom I love her. She's great. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was great. And it's really very fulfilling to speak to somebody who shows, even in their cards and psychically, that they are incredibly intuitive and very psychic. And to show you that just being psychic, you know, we don't have our head up our butt thinking, oh, yeah, I know exactly which planet is going to blow up in flames. So when people ask me, like, oh, you're so great, how come you didn't know the avalanche was going to happen in Colorado and the earthquake and Kuril Islands? And I can tell you, I did see all that stuff, but God doesn't necessarily give me the latitude and longitude of every freaking thing that happens. And if you think about it, there's an earthquake happening right now somewhere. So what would I be saying? Okay, we're going to get an earthquake. And like 10 billion people are like, yeah, we had an earthquake where we lived. You know, it's like very bizarre. But once in a great while, we'll have like some really shocking vision. And even sometimes when you have the shocking vision, you still can't exactly pinpoint it. You know, even Nostradamus, people go, oh, he's a crackhead. You know, he was full of it. I'm like, I'll do a show maybe next time on Nostradamus. I've actually been able to uncover a lot of the things that he said. You know, he predicted this war that we're in right now, and he mentioned the president's name. And do you know what he called the current president? He called him Gorge, G-O-R-G-E. Now, you just move that E around and add another one, and you got George. And he talks about the two gorges and this bizarre, horrifying war that we're going through. And it's just unbelievable. So it's not just about making a prediction. It's about how do you translate that prediction to a future time where it's going to make sense to somebody who has an understanding of the world that's so completely developed, much further than yours. It's like when ancient people talked about people flying in the sky. I've seen frescoes from Assisi, where you see over Jesus's head some guy flying in what's looking like a spaceship. And I'm not even one of those kind of crazy people that sees stuff like that or gets inferred that kind of thing. So you have to just understand prophecy is not just telling the future. It's being able to project it and communicate it effectively to the person so they can understand in a future time what the hell you're talking about. Now, we were talking about obsession, and I'm really glad Wendy called in because one of her obsessions is, you know, getting psychic readings because she wants to, you know, get out there and find her future husband, you know. And I don't think sometimes if you go, like they say, to too many psychics, it's like, you know, you become too dependent. It's just like they say, I think Benjamin Franklin said, too many cooks spoil the broth, as I was saying before. So sometimes too much psychic information can take your own intuition away or deplete it in some way. And so we're talking about obsession and how that affects us. You know, and I was saying obsessions are basically these unrealistic levels of desire that make us do pretty much anything to get what it is that we want. Now, for those of you out there that do know your sun sign and its element, if you're an Aries, Leo, or Sagittarius, you're a fire sign. If you are a Taurus, Virgo, or Capricorn, you're an earth sign. If you are a Gemini, Libra, or Aquarius, you're an air sign. And if you are a Cancer, Scorpio, or Pisces, you're a water sign. Now, some of the stuff that happens when air sign people get obsessed, like they want all this freedom. They don't want to like settle down with anybody. They get obsessed with adventure and challenges, enjoyment and power. And those are like the workaholic guys. You know, they could be dating Heather Locklear and say, screw her and start dating Denise Richards. Oh, whoops, did I say that? Oh, my God. They could be married to Jennifer Aniston and say, screw that, I'm going for Angelina Jolie. Now, how interesting is that? You know, Jennifer Aniston is actually an Aquarius, and Angelina Jolie is a Gemini. So it's interesting to note that Brad Pitt jumped from an Aquarius to a Gemini. So obviously he's attracted to that like light, fluffy, intense, kind of fun, outgoing, adventurous kind of woman. So we understand what those kinds of air signs obsessions are. Fire sign obsessions, those are the people that just, you know, they got to gamble. They got to go to Vegas. They got to go see the strippers. They got to have one more drink. They're all addicted to passion, expression, and competition. They're addicted to adrenaline, adventure, and experience in life. So they're obsessed with those things, and they don't have any room for anything that doesn't fit into that. And boy, oh boy, do I know Leos are like that. Water sign obsessions. Now, this is where people like Wendy could really learn something. The obsessions for water sign people, and also Cancers and Scorpios, they have an insane obsession about obtaining security. They're really obsessive about being able to create and be creative, and they want somebody that lets them say what they want to say, do what they want to do. And they're obsessed about being in relationships. They also, when those things don't work out, they get obsessed with food or drugs. And they're also obsessed with people being reliable or, you know, punctual. And they're also obsessed about getting people that they can kind of manipulate emotionally. I hate to break the cat out of the bag, but it's really true. And earth sign people get obsessed with control, enjoyment of the hedonistic experiences, power, security, relationships, and also food and drugs. Now, the air and the fire signs are what's called active, and they're masculine. They're very aggressive. Water and earth signs are very passive. So even if you have like a Pisces guy who's water or, you know, he's going to have those same kind of passive obsessions, like finding a woman who knows how to cook and wash his clothes and pick up his dog, you know, have his kids and raise them and do all the work. That's a typical kind of water sign obsession, liking to be cuddled and taken care of. So those are some things that the various types of signs get obsessed with. Now, if you've recognized these things inside yourself that I've been talking about tonight, about obsession, you can fix it. Now, usually, to fix something, you want to do the opposite of what's breaking it. So say if you are a fire sign and you're obsessed with being your own person, going to Vegas and blah, 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 but your girlfriend's like a Pisces and she needs you to be home, you definitely want to take that into consideration. If you start looking at your life and you're a fire sign and you're obsessed with freedom, is that freedom actually giving you the enjoyment in life that you really want it to? So you have to learn how to control your obsessions by invoking the opposite kind of effect in your life. And for those of you that are interested in doing rituals to help that, please contact me. You can always write to me at vox@vox.org. That's vox@voxx.org. There's different kind of candle rituals you can do. And not because candles are magical and candles have power. It's because candles, if you think about it, they're the perfect talisman. They have the manifested aspect of earth as being the hardened wax. They have the wick that burns, the fire that emanates in the flame and the heat, the smoke that goes into the air, and the wax becomes water and liquefies. So you can understand how candles can be a really great focal point to concentrate on when you're trying to do any kind of magic or ritual spells to effect something. You can burn candles to release things or bring those things into your life. And if you'd like to know more about rituals, you can also join my forum at vox.org/forum. Register tonight and start posting on the boards. And more than myself will be answering your questions. There's a lot of really great magicians on my board that I've met through MySpace. And if somebody can't answer your question, I just won't believe it. But anyway, we've been talking tonight about obsessions and what to do about them. Like in our first caller, Alex, a little bit obsessed with trying to make it in the music business, yet not having the belief in himself that he can do it on his own. And we want to fix that. And we know that Alex was an Aries. And it's kind of unusual to have an Aries who has a little bit of problem to believe in themselves, but that's okay. You know, Aries are meant to rule, and if they don't believe that, and they start following for everybody else's train, they lose themselves, and then their self-esteem gets compromised, and then they get trapped, and then they wind up doing nothing. And in Wendy's case, she was like becoming obsessed with, you know, finding a partner. And Wendy's lovable, very sexy, very funny, really great. I don't know why she reminds me of Valerie Harper from some TV show with Mary Tyler Moore, just that smart, hip chick that knows it all, that's sometimes a little bit intimidating to men. But I know she's got it in her to find a really great partner, and all she has to do is stop trying so hard. So anyway, that's our show for tonight, and I hope you learned something. I do try to be, you know, informative about things about astrology, magic, and ritual. So you also remember, too, this Friday night, please, if you're in Hollywood, try to come to my gig at Tangier Restaurant. For more information, write to me at info, I-N-F-O, at telegenetic.com, telegenetic.com. Join my forum at vox.org/forum. And for God's sakes, when you go onto my blog, go on there and hit dig so people can find it and find all kinds of cool, crazy stuff that I'm posting about. And also, I wanted to give a final peace out to the great writer Robert Anton Wilson, who passed away on January 11th, a good friend and a wonderful magician. So if you want to read some of Robert Anton Wilson's works, I think you'd really find it fascinating, especially people out there that are interested in the Illuminati conspiracies and things of that nature. So anyway, feel free always to write me, vox@vox.org. Until then, you also want to subscribe to my podcast because I'll be putting that up later tonight. And other than that, I hope you have a great day. Have a mystical, magical day, in fact. And this is Vox signing off from The Vox Show.